Can you help me, please? I'm stuck.
I don't think that's a good idea. I have zero experience in lumberjacking.
Thank God you're here. Can you make some food? I've been stuck here for 6 days, and all I've had to eat are 2 pine cones.
Well, I'm not a nutritionist, so I wouldn't know what someone in your condition would...
Do something!
Do what? I'm not a zoologist.
There's a gun in the tent. Get the gun.
I don't have a license. I've never operated...
Look, just throw a rock or something.
I'm not a geologist. I don't know which one would be most effective.
Oh, I don't want to die. I don't even know if I'll get to heaven. Do you at least know how to get to heaven?
Well, actually, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a theologian, so I wouldn't really know what to say to you. But, you know, if you ever get out of here, you really should look into it.
All right, so today we continue our series called The Pursuit, and it's this idea that God will pursue us no matter how far from Him we go. And He does that because God loves us and He cares for us. And so this morning I want to talk to you about this idea of what happens when we feel inadequate. And so, like this guy in this video, sometimes we feel inadequate because we're not trained enough, or we're not equipped enough, we're not educated enough. And so, for me personally, I can think back to when I felt the most inadequate was when I asked my wife out for the first time. See, here's why, because we've known each other since we were like 10 years old. And during that time, I was always like, I had this crush on her, but I could never possibly ask her out. And so it got to the point where some of our friends would jump in and say, Justin, you have to ask this girl out. Like, what are you waiting on? And they'd be like, you know what? She actually likes you too. And I'd be like, no way. Because see, I felt inadequate. She was so far. Like, if you guys have met my wife, you know, she is like way out of my league. And so... And here's why. And I was like, I can't ask her out because I'm like an inferior person. I got this giant head, these big jumbo ears. Like, there's no chance she'll say yes to me. And finally, I did, and now we've been married for a while. But that's not the point. The point is my inadequacy that I felt there. And so for you, there's been different things where you felt inadequate. And so maybe you're like this guy in this video where you feel like you don't have enough education, you don't have enough training, you're not prepared for something, and that causes you to feel inadequate. Other times we feel inadequate because we tried something once and we failed. And you might have even failed really hard too. And so now every time that similar situation comes up, you're not willing to take that chance because of the inadequacy that you feel. And then there's those moments where maybe when you were younger, someone spoke into your life. And they spoke in a very negative way. And they told you that you would never succeed. They told you that you would fail time and time again. They told you that you're just not going to win in life. And that, as a result, causes you to feel inadequate. And so we're going to pick up in Amos chapter 7. And here's what I want you to think about, is that Amos, right, is a prophet. So he is going and he's sharing these visions, this message that God has given him. And a lot of times when we feel inadequate, it's because we're afraid of the response that we're going to get. And so basically, just to give you a little context here, Amos is from the southern kingdom. He's from Judah, and he's going to the northern kingdom to tell him these stories from God, these messages from God that are not great news. And so this would be like if you had your neighbor and they came into your house and they walked in and they started telling you what was wrong with your house. And so they walk in the door and they say, hey, that color that you have in there, it's really not very good. Like, you might want to rethink that. And I like all those new appliances that you have, they're junk. Like, I know you spent a lot of money on them, but they're bad. They're all going to fall apart real soon. And I'm sorry that you wasted your money. And hey, besides your stuff, what about your rules? Like, your kids, like, they've told me about some of the rules in your house. Your rules are harsh and they're not very good either. And like, I can see this, why you would say that person would be like, get out of my house. And so this is exactly what's happening with Amos right now, is that he's shared this message and it's not a very popular message. And so he's talking to the people of Israel and he's sharing this message. And here's where we pick up in Amos chapter 7. It says, Amaziah sent orders to Amos. He says, get out of here, you prophet. Go on back to the land of Judah and earn your living by prophesying there. Don't bother us with your prophecies here in Bethel. This is the king's sanctuary and the national place of worship. See, this is what happens, is that we fear this type of response. And because we anticipate this kind of a response, a lot of times we feel inadequate. We feel like we're just not good enough. But look at how Amos replies. He says, hey, I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. See, this is so cool because when you look here, right, Amos is saying, listen, this is not what I do. This is not who I am. I'm a farmer. I'm a shepherd. I look at sheep and trees all day long. That's what I do. But God asked me to come over here and share this message with you. See, that becomes our excuse too many times. We say, hey, I don't work in a church. I'm not a missionary. I can't share this message. But God has given you a message to share with people as well. And so it doesn't matter what profession you work in, that you are called and you are asked by God to share this type of message. And so this is where Amos is at, is that he's saying, listen, this is not who I am. I'm not comfortable doing this. I'm not okay doing this, but this is what God's asked me to do. So this is what I'm going to do right now. And here's the great part about Amos, is that he has confidence in what he's saying. And so he has this confidence. Because when we look back in chapter 3, see, here's what happens right before these verses. Amos talks about these things that should go together. So if this is happening, then this should happen. If this is happening, then this should happen. And then he says, indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. See, Amos is saying, listen, I'm not a professional prophet, but apparently I'm a prophet. And God's not going to do anything until he reveals his plan to me. And think about his plan, that God's plan was bad news. No one wants to be that person telling bad news. When something horrible happens, we don't all jump and say, hey, you know what, let me take that one. When something bad happens here around the church, you know what I say? I'm like, hey, you know who handled this really good? Pastor Rick would be great at doing that. He, like I know it's a tough situation. There's a lot of details in there. He speaks so well. He never stumbles over his words. He'll be able to take care of this perfectly. And so we try and dump everything off on everyone else. And see, this is what's happening. Amos is saying, I might not be a professional, but God isn't going to do this without me. And so how can he be so confident? See, that's the coolest part. Because if we know that God is an all-powerful God, that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, then what does he need us for? Why would he wait for Amos to make a move? Why would he ask Amos to be a part of what's going on here? And it really comes down to a simple reason. This idea that Amos is one of God's creations and that God loves us. God, our God, is a relational God. And so, yeah, he could just drop down an instruction manual with everything that he wants. He could let us all hear his voice at the exact same time and just say, you need to go take care of this. You need to stop doing that. But God loves us, and so he wants to work with us as a result. He wants to make us a part of his plan, and not just any part, but a significant part. And that's like the really cool part to me, is that it's not just anything. God doesn't just say, hey, you know what, like, go tell someone to that, like, you need to bring some water over here. God says he makes us this big, huge, significant part of his plan. And so we see that by when we go back to chapters 1 and 2. Hopefully you guys were able to read Amos this week. And when you did, you probably started picking up on a theme that carries through the book. And it's a significant theme. See, let's just talk about significance for a minute. That when you want to, like, you don't want to do something that's not significant. If you're anything like me, like, when I am doing something, I want it to be a big deal. I want it to be something that's important. That's what's happening. And so I think back to when I was a child. When you guys were kids, you probably thought, like me, my dad would fix things around the house. And he would say, Justin, you want to help me? And I'd say, of course I do. And so he'd say, hey, I have the perfect job for you. I said, what is it? I'm like, I'm ready. And he'd say, hold the flashlight for me. I was like, all right. So I'd sit there. I'd hold that flashlight. And then he'd say, hey, focus. And so I'd focus again, right? But in my mind, I'm saying, Pops, I don't want the flashlight. I want the drill. I want the saw. Like, let me get in that and do that. And he, like, no, hold the flashlight. And I know that there's times where that flashlight was needed, but I wanted to be right there in the action. And see, this is what we see with God and Amos here, that Amos is a huge part of what's going on. And in the same way that we are a crucial part of what's happening with God. And so you, when you read through Amos this week, in chapters 1 and 2, you saw this phrase 8 times. You might not have recognized it, that you saw it 8 times, but you saw it 8 times. And it says, the people of, let's say, Cranston, have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. See, the theme that carries all the way through Amos is this theme of justice. Think about that. That God is ready to bring justice. And justice is when something's not right, it's making it right. And biblical justice would be if something's not right within God's character, to bring it right within God's character and his characteristics. And he's saying to Amos, I want you to be a part of this justice. See, justice comes in all sorts of different forms. Justice can come in punishment. When I was a kid, I got a lot of justice. There were times where I messed up and my parents had to let me know what was right. And there was justice there through punishment. But justice can also be about empowering someone who's never been empowered before, letting them be able to make a decision. It could be about giving a voice to a person that doesn't feel like they have a voice, and that you can come alongside them and help them speak what they're saying, or you can connect them with the right people. Justice is about coming alongside that young kid that might be missing a parent in their life. And that's justice. Justice is when you're at work and you hear racist jokes or inappropriate comments or whatever it is, that you are willing to speak up because you know that that's not within God's character. That's justice. And see, Amos got to be a part of this justice. See, these people were all going so far away from God. And God's saying, Amos, I want you to be here and to be a part of this. I need you to deliver this message to these people. Even though Amaziah isn't going to want to hear it from you, I want you to be a part of it. See, justice comes in so many different ways. And so I've asked Casey to come up here this morning and share with you how he's seen justice play out back home in Florida.
Good morning, guys. So I love this idea that he's talking about, that justice isn't just punishment or reprimanding, but it comes in the shape of also empowering and bridging the gap for people. I've had the opportunity for the last 2 years or so to work at an organization in my town where my college is, called the Dream Center. And they're all over the country. You may have heard of the Dream Center of LA. It's one of the biggest social justice organizations in the country, and it's incredible. What I get to do there is I'm the student leader of a basketball league. And so basically what we do is we open up the gym once a week, and we make these kids feel like they're going from college to the NBA. So we have this crazy draft, and we all sit around at a table, and we I want him, like, will you trade? And we just really play it up, and it's so much fun because they're on teams and they get to name the teams, and we have jerseys and an all-star week where we do all these competitions and stuff. And it's amazing because I've gotten to see firsthand the impact that a place like this can have on individuals who feel like they've just been thrown to the wayside. The community that this organization is in is one of the roughest communities in our city, in our county, really. And our county is bigger than Rhode Island. So you could imagine that it's pretty big, and there's a lot of people. And I've gotten to see firsthand families be taken out of shelters because they couldn't afford to live in their home anymore, and be put up in a home for super cheap because they were able to be connected with resources, or single mothers and single fathers be empowered and assisted in their tough journey to put clothes on their children and make sure that they can go to school and make sure that they have a lunch the next day. One of the kids I've gotten to get super close with over the last few years, his name's Alex. He comes from a broken home. His parents are divorced. His brother is in a gang. And his dream was always to play basketball. That's all he's ever wanted to do. And he's not the best. But he knows that when he comes out to play with us, that we're just going to make him a superstar. We're going to make him feel like a superstar. And somehow, over the past 2 years, this kid's confidence has blown through the roof, and his ability has gone with it. And this past semester, he was offered a full-ride scholarship to play basketball at a university in our town. And it's unbelievable to see this, because he probably wouldn't have had this opportunity if it weren't for the connections that were made through the Dream Center. And my favorite part about the whole operation is the two guys that are in charge. One of them, he just wanted to be a full-time pastor. That was what he felt like he was supposed to do. He just wanted to graduate college or high school, whatever it was, and go right into a church. The other guy, Steve, Mike is the pastor. Steve, he wanted to be, he wanted to work at a financial firm, if that's what they're called. I don't know anything about finances. And they always wondered, why isn't this working? Why isn't my plan working? And they ended up at the Dream Center. So when you look at them on paper, you're like, who are these guys? Like, I could do this. Like, if they can do it, so can I. But the amazing thing is that this wasn't their plan, but God has been using them in such incredible ways to empower people and to bridge the gap between where they are and where they could be through a simple connection. And it's incredible because the only reason that this is all happening is because they were obedient to God's calling in their life. If you looked at them 10 years ago, you would have thought, this will never happen. But they felt this pulling in their heart that God said, you need to be here and you need to be doing this. And there's been so much fruit that's coming out of it. And it all happened because God tugged on their heart and they said, all right, I'm gonna go do that. And so Justin is going to come back and talk about this idea of calling. So thank you.
So you heard Casey explain this story of justice being brought. And that's what I want you to recognize, is that justice doesn't have to be so linear. It's not just taking something, turning it around, and making it right, but that you can see that there's a plan that goes in place, that there's programs that can be built around it, that there's so much that can happen to make justice being brought. But then you heard Casey talk about this idea of calling. And so let's go back to chapter 7, and here's where we see Amos say, that I'm not a professional prophet. I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of these trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, go and prophesy to my people in Israel. The Lord called Amos. See, and what a calling is, right, is that Amos's focus was on his trees and on his sheep. And God said, I want you to shift that focus over here. I know that this is what you're doing, that this is where all your focus is at, but I want your focus to be with these people of Israel right now. And see, it's the same thing with us. Where is your focus? Is it on your family? Is it at your work? Is it on your cars, your sports? Your focus can be in all sorts of different places. But here's the part that I love about the church. This is what gets me so excited about God and His place in our lives, is that every single one of you has a calling. God is calling you. There's not a single person in this room who isn't called. And your role is significant, just like Amos, because you get to bring a message of justice, just like he did. Because the message that we get to bring is the message that Jesus Christ came for us because we were far from God, because our sin did pull us away from God, and that now we get to share the same love that we've received, to know that Jesus died for us to restore our relationship with God. And that's the message that we're called to bring. But how do you find your calling? How do you know what your calling is? Some of you are sitting in here and saying, I don't know what my calling is. And I heard someone say it once like this. What breaks your heart? What is it that kills you when you just stop and think about it? See, it might be a certain person, a certain group of people, a certain situation like you heard Casey talking about. What breaks your heart? It might be the guy that you see sitting alone in the lunchroom at work every single day. It might be the guy that you see standing on the corner, the homeless man that you see standing on the corner every single day as you drive by for work. What breaks your heart? Is it kids and your desire for kids to understand the truth of the gospel? Maybe you're like me, and it's that when high school students graduate, 80% of them walk out these doors and they don't come back until they come back broken, until they come back hurt. That breaks my heart. Your calling is what breaks your heart. What is it that God has put on your heart that you want, and you just say, God, I don't want people to struggle like this anymore. I don't want people to go through this anymore because I want to bring a message of justice to them. See, you might feel inadequate. You might be like Amos and say, I'm not a professional. I don't work in the church. I'm not a missionary. And what we learn from Amos is that doesn't matter. What matters is that God thinks you that you're not just adequate, that you're more than adequate. And that He has called you. See, you're not just adequate. You're called. Amos felt inadequate. He said, I'm not a professional prophet. This is not what I do. But then he followed that right up and said, I'm called. I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. There's nothing that can get in the way of me doing this. And this is what we see next. This is just the beginning of the next verse. It says, Amos says, now then, listen to this message from the Lord. See, he's running through his response to Amaziah. He says, I'm not a professional prophet, but I'm called. And he says, no, just sit back and listen to what I have to say. Because I have a message of justice. And see, each one of you that has received love from Jesus Christ and that have began a relationship with Him, you have a message of justice too. And you are called to give it. And so, yeah, your focus might be over here. But maybe you need to shift your focus. Maybe your calling is your family. Maybe you're recognizing right now that your family is way too far from God. And you need to bring justice there. Maybe it's your workplace. And you need to bring justice into your workplace. God has put something on your heart. He has called you to bring justice somewhere. So you have this message. Be ready to tell it to someone. We have a couple next steps for you this morning that I want you to think about. The first is that you're done with this idea of inadequacy. That you're tired of feeling that way. Maybe you felt that way for a really long time, but you just can't go on anymore feeling like that. And so now you recognize that your life does have a purpose, that you do have a calling, that you do have something that God is pursuing you with. And so maybe this morning you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what we're going to ask you to do is on your connection card to just mark that down. And here's why, is because we don't want you to feel inadequate. So we want to be able to come and meet with you and help give you some good directions of where to go next. And so myself or Pastor Rick or someone from the church would love to come and just sit down with you, buy you a coffee, meet with you, and just spend some time together. So that way you are ready to deliver that message. And the next one is that, here's what I'm asking you to do. To spend 1 hour with God this week. And just talk to Him about your calling. See, some of you, you've been a Christ follower for a long time. But you've never recognized that you have a calling before. And so what I'm hoping that you'll do is that you'll take 1 hour. And I know you're saying 1 hour is too much time. 1 hour is one TV show that I know you guys are all watching. 1 hour is doable. And you might have kids. You know what? Tell your husband, tell your wife, say, hey, I need you to watch the kids for an hour because I need to go talk to God about something serious this week. I need to go have some real time with God. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to go someplace where you're not going to have any distractions. When I do this, when I spend time with God in this way, I go to the town docks in North Kingstown, and I sit at those docks, and I watch some of the boats go by, and I watch that water just lightly go by, and I just talk to Him. I just ask Him questions. I'll put my earbuds in. I'll listen to some music and try and hear some messages from Him in that music. I'll read my Bible sitting there, and I'll just stop. I'll just pray to Him. And I'll continually ask Him, God, what breaks my heart now? What do You want me to be focused on next? Where do You want my focus to be? And that's the kind of hour that I'm asking you to take this week. Is what is it? What situation is it? What group of people is it? Or maybe this idea of that one that we're asking you to be praying for. God, who is it that You want me to share Your love with? Who can I try and share Your love with every single day? God, show me that one person. Just take an hour. Let's pray. Jesus, we are so thankful for how You have just poured down Your love on us. For how we are so inadequate without You. Our sin, the things that we have just done wrong have made us inadequate. But You have made us more than adequate. How You used Your Son to restore us, to bring us back into a relationship with You. And for how You just care about us and You pursue us no matter what we've done. And so we thank You for that. But God, we don't want to stop there with only receiving. We want to be people like Amos who are willing to follow our calling. So God, will you help our church, this church right here, to be ready to share that message? Will you help this church? Will you help us to hear our calling, to go after it? That we are called to bring justice. So help us see where we need to bring it. We pray this in your name, Jesus.